Okay, so we're continuing in the world of Harchakos, and today Be'ezras Hashem, we will discuss a little bit about Harchatzas Panav Yad Avraglav and Kol Isha, and then we will get into the dining room Harchakos, and then the plan is that on Wednesday we'll finish the dining room Harchakos and begin the bedroom Harchakos, and then on Thursday we will finish off the bedroom Harchakos. Sound like a plan? Good plan. Okay, that is the plan going forward. And then next week, of course, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael. So let's begin. Harchatzas Panav Yad Avraglav. This comes up in Seif Yud Beis in Siman Kuf Tzadi Hei. It's based, of course, on the Gemara in Ksuvos that tells us that Kol Melacha Sheisha Osa Labayla Nida Osa Labayla, all the melachos that anyone does, Nida does as well. Chutz Mimzik Zakos Hatzas Amita Harchatzas Panav Yadav. V'raglav. So the Beis Yosef quotes a whole slew of Rishonim, the Smag, Hagos Maimonios, the Rashba, a whole group of Rishonim that all say that this means that even if she just pours the water over him without touching him, that is included in Harchatzas Panav Yad Avraglav, because you wouldn't need a harchaka to tell me that she's not a separate harchaka to tell me that she's not allowed to touch him while she bathes him. We already said lo yigaba afilu be'etzba katana. So obviously this is adding something beyond nigia be'etzba katana, and this is saying that even just pouring the water over him without any touching. The Bach points out over here that a shinoi does not help like it does with mezigas hakos, because bathing is considered an inherent derechiba, and as an inherent derechiba, it's a more sensitive harchaka, and it's not going to have all of the leniencies that the others have. So the question then becomes, okay, now that we paskin that it's even without touching, but how far removed can it, you know, does it have to be? Meaning, is it usher for her to even prepare water that he is then going to use? What if she's not actively participating in bathing him at all? She's not pouring any water over him. She just turned on the shower for him. She just started running a bath. She just filled up a cup for him to, a basin of water for him to wash his face with, for him to wash his hands with. So is that included as well? This is a machlokas rishonim. The Me'iri in Ksuvos Daf Dalid says that she may prepare a bath or water for him to wash with, and the Sefer Eshkol also says yes, that she may, provided though, Sefer Eshkol adds in, that it's shalo b'fanav, that it's that he's not there at the time that she does the preparing of the water. And Rabbeinu Yonah in Igeres HaTshuva says not to prepare the water and put it in front of him, not to prepare the water at all. So you have three basic shitos, whether preparing the water in advance that he is then going to use is going to be permissible. What do we pass on halachas? Let's see. Sif Yud Beis in Siman Kuf Tzadi Hei says the Shulchan Aruch, Asura litzok lo mayim lirchos panav yad v'raglav v'afilu einu noga aspo v'afilu heim tzonanim. Even if the water mayim tzonanim, even if the water is cold. So what does that tell us? Does that tell us, you know, litzok lo mayim sounds like to pour the water, right? It's just telling us what we already know. It doesn't seem to be getting into much detail over here. So the Taz in Sif Katan Ches has what to say about this. Says the Taz, Asura litok lomayim, l'chora mashma milashon zeh, sha'asura litein mayim bekli, v'hu yirchaz achar kach. He says the mashmos of the mechaber is that she is not even allowed to put water in a kli, which he will subsequently use to bathe. Aval be'emes ein okein, says the Taz, but it's not true. Dezeh loshon Rashba, afilu hu rochets v'himotzakas, she'ilu lirchutz biyodeh, afilu b'lo rechitza aser, de'kir basa v'asaliga, afilu b'aspektana ad kalashono. The Rashba made a big deal of saying that even if they're not touching, it's going to be aser. But that's as far as the Rashba went, that even if they're not touching, it's going to be aser. He didn't go so far as to say that it's going to be aser even if she's not bathing him at all. Mashma dumateres lahachan lo mayim bekli v'hu yirchatz misham demidikasav hu rochetz v'himotzakas mashma d'vashas ruchitza shelo yiyotzakas The implication of the Rashba, when he describes what is Usr, the Rashba says it's Usr for him to be bathing and her to be pouring. But it sounds like if she did all the pouring before he started bathing, that's going to be mutter. Vesu, the im tefarish to gamze Usr, kasha minolun lesoze. Meaning, if you're going to tell me that it's also for her to prepare the water in advance, you better have a raya that it's also to prepare the water in advance. Where does it say that? You have a good raya that she's not allowed to do the pouring. Because otherwise, there's no new harchaka over here. If it's only about touching, that's you're not introducing anything new. So that's a raya brura, that if she's pouring, that's a problem. But where's your raya that preparing in advance is a problem? There's no raya for that. Then he goes on to say, Vein lomar dagam davar zeshe yotzakas b'shashu rochitz gam ken asur belav chiba d'rechitza l'mitam deno ga'as bo al yedeya mayim mandels l'miyad l'yadav. Oh, you're going to tell me, no, you know what the raya is? Because pouring directly over him would have been asur before sefid beis anyway. Because she's touching him indirectly. Meaning, can a husband and wife touch each other with a stick or something, with a pencil or something, tap each other on the shoulder like that? You know, I'll let her do that either. That's usher anyway. So if she's touching him with the water, that's going to be usher anyway. So he says, no. This maga al yidei davar achar is so indirect that midin maga this would not have been aser, and it's only aser because of the extra chiba involved in bathing. V'chein yirli milashon Talmud shomer b'din zed arachas pan v'yadav ragel of aser v'davar zeh shenosenes mayim l'kli tchila b'li yitzik alav lo mikru ruchitza. Meaning, what did the Gemara say? What's aser? Harchatzas pan v'yadav ragel. You would not call turning on a shower harchatza. You would not call filling up a kli with water harchatza spana v'yadav raglav. Vayilo lomar dinisinas mayim harchatza aser. The Gemara should have been more clear if this was aser as well. What does mezigas hakos mean? So we'll get to it, but mezigas hakos, the simple translation is pouring the wine. So why not say pouring the water is going to be aser? Elamai, pouring the water is not aser. And therefore it says, the taz elevade ki depirashti de'ein iser b'nesinas mayim l'chud. There's no iser in just placing the water. Chen kas bedrisha, umikal makom pashutli, de'gam zeh b'chlal le'iser shim hu rochitz mikli sheyesh bo nekev l'mata, u'bishas rechitzaso hi yotzakas mayim l'akli, de'gam zeh mikri archatza. I don't know how common this problem was. But the Taz says, I will admit that it's going to be a problem if there's like this giant basin that has like teeny holes in it, like one of those flower pot things, right? And that she can't be dumping water, and he's using it as like a shower head. So he's standing underneath that giant basin, and she's dumping water into the giant basin, and then it's slowly dripping down on him through the tiny holes. That, I agree, is awesome. Okay, I don't know how often that happens, but that the Taz, because that's mama, she's pouring it, and like, okay, you can say it's a grumma, because like it takes a second longer or 2 seconds longer till the water, you know, sifts through those tiny holes. That I agree is Asr. But says the Taz that to prepare water is not a problem at all. So who disagrees? Comes along the Shach. Siv katan tez zayin, says the Shach. That even to put the water in front of him is asir. Rabbi Sablovsky writes in the Sefer, we follow the Shach, that she should not even prepare water for him to bathe in, and therefore she should not turn on the shower for him. What if she turns on the shower for herself and just leaves it on? Meaning they're getting ready to go to a chasm or something. They use the same bathroom, so she's going to get out of the shower and go get dressed. While she's getting dressed, he's going to go in the shower. Can she leave it on? Yeah, that I think is... I don't think she has to shut it off if it's already on. I mean, that's not... she's not being so green. You know, you should... conserve water or whatever, but absent any concerns like that, I think we'll be able to.
Seemingly, this would be less chiva than what's being discussed then, because then you're talking about you have modern showers and everything. Your mom is, you're filling up a whole basin in order for them to wash.
Whenever we deal with plumbing and water-related things, Bisman Hazeh, it seems that it's a very different reality, right? When we talk about kibbutz, for example, right? That the iser of kibbutz during the 9 days, let's say in 3 weeks, there was a whole avoda, there was a whole melacha. Nevertheless, the poskim say that that's the kach gazru. So therefore, even if it just involves pushing a button on the machine, throwing in some detergent and pushing a button on the machine, that's included in the iser. So you're right, filling up water and heating it and schlepping it from the well, heating it on the fire that you're getting firewood, heating it on the furnace or whatever, and then preparing it for him is a much bigger avodah, and l'chora would require greater chiba. Nevertheless, it seems that our poskim are machmir. In the chut shani, he says not even to fill up her washing cup, meaning a lot of times it's basic derech eretz. Everyone's washing their hands for netilas yadayim. So when you finish, you leave the water going to fill up the cup while you're drying it, and then you could shut the faucet so that you have it filled for the person behind you. So in this Kralitz, in the chut shani, says not to fill up the washing cup for her either. And apparently, in Rabbi Sablovsky's Sefer, in the back where Schechter's notes appear, in the back of Rabbi Sablovsky's Sefer, Rabbi Schechter's notes say that Rabbi Schechter agrees with the Chutzani, well, it doesn't say it mentioned the Chutzani, but that Rabbi Schechter also said that you're not allowed to fill up her washing cup. So our very own Isaac Bernstein went and asked Rabbi Schechter if one is allowed to fill up a washing cup for his wife, and Rabbi Schechter said, of course. And so Isaac said, oh, it must mean that Rabbi Schechter distinguishes between her filling for him and him filling for her, because the notes in the back of the Sefer says she can't fill his washing cup, right? And it's kol malach she'isho selevayla. So maybe Rabbi Schechter distinguishes between what she does for him and what he does for her. That must be what it is. So he went back to Rabbi Schechter and said, you mean that she's not allowed to do it for him, but he's allowed to do it for her? He said, no, either one could do it. They could fill up the washing cup for each other. Why did you write in Rabbi Sablovsky's Sefer that you're not allowed to? I never wrote that. Okay, so we have to have that changed. Be'ezras Hashem for the next edition. But it's not that nobody's machmir about it. The Chut Shani is machmir about it. But nevertheless, it seems that there is and the logic to be mekil. Rabbi Sablovsky explains that the reason to be mekil is because it's something you would do for anybody. Meaning it has nothing. It doesn't matter who's behind you in line to wash. You would do that for anybody. So there's mamash zero intimacy involved. It's not something that you would do for a total stranger. You do it all the time for a total stranger. You had a simcha or something. So it's not something that has any intimacy involved at all. Another element of the heter may also be because it's for a dvar mitzvah and shomer mitzvah yedavara, that there's going to be less of a likelihood of yirhurim that emerge from help in doing a mitzvah. Badei Shulchan, for example, says that she can bring him water when he's sick, even though we're machmir beruchita, meaning one of the kulas for sick people is not bathing, right? Bathing is also even for sick people, because many poskim hold that bringing water is. So Badei Shulchan uses the fact that the taz. He says you can rely on the taz whenever you have any other snif lahaka. Meaning, even though we pass on like the shach that even preparing the water, bringing the water is a problem, but keep in mind that the taz had a major objection to that, and the taz thought that the whole issue is harchatzas panav yadav raglav, that it's not bringing water. So we can rely on the taz when there's some other reason to rely on the taz. So therefore, filling the washing cup, l'chora, would be good enough reason to rely on the taz, because it's for dvar mitzvah, because it's so non-intimate. Also, it's interesting that the way the Gemara says it, and the Mechaber, is that it's aser litzok l'mayim lirchutz panav yadav v'raglav. Right? Why dafka panav yadav v'raglav? What about the rest of the body? So panav yadav v'raglav comes up elsewhere in Halacha. Where else does rachatz panav yadav v'raglav come up? So we talk about the issur of bathing on Yantif, right? So the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, when it talks about Beitza, when it talks about that which is shavul kol nefesh and that which is not shavul kol nefesh. So all of the Tanaim say that rechitzas kol gufo is not shavul kol nefesh. It's not something that people need to do all of the time. It's like a tanug yisera. It's like this extra, very pampered kind of enjoyment that certain people have. But rechitzas panav yad v'raglav is just like basic hygiene. That was the assumption. Nowadays, obviously, our assumptions have changed, and we assume that parachatzas kol gufo is basic hygiene. But when it was such an avod, like Aaron was explaining before, to get warm water, you would imagine that washing the whole body would not happen as frequently, and therefore harchatzas panav yad v'raglav was considered something that was shavu l'kol nefesh, whereas harchatzas kol gufo is not shavu l'kol nefesh. It's like this excessive tanug. So l'chora, and the Badei HaShulchan points this out, the idea that the Shulchan Aruch over here says that she's not allowed to be marchatzas panav yad v'raglav is afilu panav yad v'raglav. But for sure kol gufo, meaning it's for sure derech chiba when she's preparing this extra tanug, this spa-like experience for him. The chiddush is, even if all he's doing is washing his hands, or face, or feet, Badei HaShulchan points that out from Achronim also, it doesn't have to be all three. Anything, one or the other, and that seems to be the assumption of all poskim, is that washing any of them, even that is including the iser of bathing. So that's as far as harchatzas panav yadav v'raglav is concerned. Not the most nogei lemaisa, meaning there aren't that many shailas that really come up with harchatzas panav yadav v'raglav. When I teach chassadim, I always say that there are only two gemaras that talk about harchakos. There's the Tana Dvei Eliyahu about the guy that died at a young age, and there's the chutz mimizik sakos hatzas amit harchatzas panav yadav v'raglav. If you only had chutz mimizik sakos hatzas amit harchatzas panav yadav v'raglav, there's not that much, right? Meaning harchatzas panav yadav v'raglav, I tell chassanim, I don't know what you're expecting exactly when you get married, but the chances that when you come home that your wife is going to say, come, let me bathe your feet for you, unlikely. That's probably not going to happen too frequently or ever. Moving on. Kol Isha. What about Kol Isha when your wife is a Nida? Two more general korvos, and then we'll get into the dining room archakos. So there is a Ben Ish Chai in Parshas Tzav that says that one should not listen to Kol Ishto Nida. However, Ben Ish Chai writes, if she needs to calm a baby down and the husband has nowhere to go, meaning, if you're ready, you bought a house and you have a 4 or 5 bedroom house, and there's a living room and a dining room, whatever, and she's going to be in the baby's room calming the baby down, and you can be somewhere else. You don't have to be hanging around there, so then go somewhere else. But if you have a small apartment, and I remember when we first bought our first house, we had 2 children at the time, and the first night we were in the house, I said I shouted across 2 rooms to my wife. I said, you're in one room, I'm in another room, Yona's in another room, Yisrael's in another room, and we still have empty rooms. This is crazy. So such a new experience. But in a small apartment, we didn't have that luxury. Everyone was in a smaller area, so there's nowhere to go. So that's what the Ben Ish Chai writes. If you have nowhere to go, then it is mutter. Lechem v'simla writes that it's mutter. The Aruch HaShulchan is machmir on Kol Isha. Rav Moshe. About Kol Isha, no, if it's I think only if you have nowhere to go. The Aruch HaShulchan is machmir. Rav Moshe is also machmir. Rav Moshe writes it in such a way that he says, I don't know, Pesach Tshuva raises a safek. So if Pesach Tshuva raises a safek, who might it be machriya? Safek of the Pesach Tshuva. So if you can't be machriya, safek, you got to be machmir. Rav Schechter in the notes in the back of Rabbi Sablowski's Sefer, which I assume generally we can trust, is machmir as well. He says also not to listen to Kol Ishto Nida. Pischi Tshuva says as in Sifkat Niyot, Sarachiyun Yimutu Lishmoa Kol Zemer Shalom. Me'achad de B'gmar Shabbaslav Yud Gimel, Amar Makish Isha Nida Le'eshes Re'ehu. Right? Because the Gemara in Shabbos compares Ishto Nida to Eshes Re'ehu. And you're certainly not allowed to listen to Kol Isha Veshas Re'ehu. And the Gemara says the only difference is Rak the Yichud Shari Mishum Datari the Sugu B'Shoshanu Kedem Yisrael Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin. Right, the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin says Sugu B'Shoshanu Afilu Kasugu B'Shoshanu is enough to trust the husband and wife. A hedge of roses is enough to trust the husband and wife together be Yichud when she's in Nida. That's a unique din by Ishto Nida that doesn't apply by Eshes Re'ehu. But everything else, whatever else is going to be Aser by Eshes Re'ehu, is going to be Aser by Ishto Nida as well. And Tosav there says, Atari Idim came near the Aser, da be Eshes Re'ehu Aser. Kamosh Kasav Brach Zav Chavdal, Kol B'Isha Erva. So that's what the Pesach Yitshuva, that's the argument the Pesach Yitshuva makes. That if we're mamish going to compare to Eshes Re'ehu, so obviously, Kol Isha of Eshes Re'ehu is Aser, Memela Kol Isha of Ishto Nida is going to be Aser as well. So far we have a group of poskim that are machmir, including Morenu Rav Shechter Shlita. We have a Pischi Tshuva who raises it as a suffix and makes a pretty reasonable case to be machmir based on the Gemara that compares Ishto Nida to Eshes Re'ehu. So who's on the Mekel side of things? It doesn't have to be someone, but there happens to be. Rav Avadia in Taras Habayis, Os Chavtes, Parakid Beis Os Chavtes, is Mekel. And Rabbi Sabalevsky seems to be Mekel as well. And it's based on, Rabbi Willig is Mekel as well. And it seems to be, Rabbi Sabalevsky said the Svara that Rav Moshe openly rejects, but Rabbi Sabalevsky thought it shouldn't have been so easily dismissed. Remember when we were talking about being mistakel in Mekomel Samachlusim Shabbat, so Rav Moshe defined what is Mekomel Samachlusim Shabbat, how do we define that which is normally covered? So that's what we saw, that Shubha from Moshe, that which she normally covers in the house when it's just the two of them hanging around the house. But that which she normally doesn't cover when it's just the two of them around the house, so that's Mekomos HaGluyim. That's not Mekomos HaMechuzim. That's not at all provocative. It's not at all something that's going to bring about hirur. That's not an issue to be mistaken. So Rabbi Sabalevsky said, the Chor, we could say the same svar. If a woman enjoys singing, if she likes hanging around the house and singing, and as she does her work, a lot of women like to sing as they're doing things, as they're cooking, as they're whatever it is that they're doing. So they, men like to chazer daf yomi, but women like to sing a lot of times when they're doing things. A very prominent Rebbetzin told me last night at the Achiezer dinner in the Five Towns that she, very very prominent Rebbetzin, said, "Oh, you're Rabbi Leibowitz. I listen to your Daf Yomi all the time." And she told me not to say. At least not on a recording. I can tell you afterwards. You'd be surprised. Okay, let's put it that way. So where does that leave us? So Rav Avadia is Mekel, and Rabbi Sabalevsky suggests that's the Svarav. She sings all the time, so then what's going to be the problem? Rav Moshe obviously rejects that comparison, because Rav Moshe said, is Machmir and Kalisha Nida. Rabbi Simon pointed out that the commentary on the Sefer Yerayim, the Tosefos Re'eim, on the commentary on the Sefer Yerayim, says exactly like Rabbi Sabalevsky, said exactly that svara of Rabbi Sabalevsky. So Rabbi Willig is Mekel, Rabbi Sabalevsky is Mekel. I think the Mahalik I've always taken is, first of all, I was never aware that Rabbi Shechter was Machmir until I just saw it like yesterday. So the Mahalik I've always taken was that if your wife really enjoys singing, you know, don't stop her from singing. If it makes you uncomfortable, you could leave. But I don't know. Maybe even, I don't know, I'll talk it over with Rav Shechter again. Final issue before we get to the dining room: smelling her perfume. Right. So what's the halacha about smelling her perfume when she is a nida? So Birkei Yosef, the Chida, in Orach Chaim, Simin Reish Yud Zayin Siv Gimel, Birch Sareach, says that a husband shouldn't smell his wife's perfume when she's in Nida. I, Sugo B'Shoshanim, we trust people. Yeah, but you don't play with this kind of temptation. That smelling a perfume is already a different level of... smell happens to be something that's ma'orer taiva. I mentioned to you, when I ask, I mentioned to someone, I don't know if I mentioned to you guys that, when I ask Hasanim, sometimes 3 to 6 months after they get married, I always say, like, well, what didn't I tell you? So one guy said, you didn't tell me that I have to shower so frequently so I don't smell like a horse. So, smell is ma'orer temptation, and smell also will kill any temptation or any taiva. So the dafka, when it comes to perfume, that's what the Chida writes. Someone should be very, very careful. The Shulchan Aruch over there writes in Reshit Zayin in Aruch Chaim, Shulchan Aruch writes besamim shel erva. If there's besamim shel erva, kigon kupa shel besam tali b'tzavari. See, they had different kinds of perfumes. Their perfumes weren't in a bottle that you would spray, and then once it's out of the bottle, it's never going back in the bottle, right? They would have like a necklace that had all sorts of spices and fragrances on it, and they'd put on the necklace, and they would take it off and put it on again the next day or whenever it is that they wanted to put it on. So the Shulchan Aruch of there says that if you have b'sam shalerva, kagon kupa shal b'sam tali b'tzavara, maybe it's a bracelet, or b'pia, somehow she holds it in her mouth, I don't know, no, you don't say bracha when you smell the besamim of an eshes ish, let's say, because what in the world are you doing smelling the besamim of an eshes ish? Shami yavu de hergel nashiko, kiruv basar. Right, you can say, "Oh, I just need meir brachos. Let me get." No, you can't do that. So the Taz over there in Aruch Chaim in Sifkatan Gimel, nirali de regilus nakat shehi regila b'kach. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch says she's wearing it. It's on her wrist. It's on her neck. She's wearing it. Says the Taz, even if she's not wearing it, even if she put it down somewhere, it's asur levarich lehem. Daha asuy ledvareva. V'sudal yideza yavul dehirher biyoda umakira. If you know the woman who wears this and this is her fragrance, then that's only going to be ma'orer the yetzarar. It's only going to cause taiva and problems and something that we're not interested in doing. So pischei tshuva over here in Sifkatan Aleph, pischei tshuva tells you to look in some Reshit Zayin, the Birkei Yosef, also the Reuch Mipsam Shalah, Av Shetor Yidusug V'Shoshanim, Mikol Makom Yeshlis Rachik, V'Similu Davar, Suga B'Shoshanim, Tzarech Siyag, Gam B'Shoshanim. Va'ayin B'taz Shom Sifkat and Gimel Shkos Afilu Misiru Vodim B'Sam Shalishto Nida Misiru Me'ela Munachma L'Shulchan Filu Achay Asu L'Ariach Ben. Wow, so it says B'Shchit Shuva, whatever the Taz says about Erva is going to apply to Ishto Nida as well. Because Ishto Nida is also like an Erva as far as this is concerned, so you shouldn't get close enough to smell her perfume, and you shouldn't smell her perfume even when she has removed it. She's already taken it off. You shouldn't go to the dresser, pick up her necklace of perfumes, and smell it. So how do we apply that to a spray perfume, to a bottle? So first of all, I didn't see anyone discuss this, but l'chora, there was no like... each woman that had her own necklace of sweet-smelling things probably smelled a little bit different. Meaning there were different cocktails of things that they would put on their necklaces to smell nice. I mean, you didn't have like this mass-produced Calvin Klein or whatever. I don't know what perfumes I know. I'm not so into this stuff, but that millions of people smell exactly like your wife. You didn't have that kind of thing. I didn't see any poskim that discuss whether that should make chapenaf kamina la'alacha. What they did discuss is whether a spray bottle chapenaf kamina, because a spray bottle is totally different in the sense that whatever you're going to be smelling in the bottle, she's never worn yet. Right, I'm not talking about smelling it while it's on her. We'll get that in a moment. But whatever you're going to be smelling that's still in the bottle has never been on her, as opposed to a perfume that she puts on and takes off. It's not. So when you're smelling it, you know that's already been on her. So Darkei Tshuva quotes the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, Siv Chav Gimel, says that it's also to smell when it's on her body, even in a bottle, but it's mutter when it's in the bottle. Aruch HaShulchan writes... that if she puts it al gufa or b'kadeha, so pshita sha'asul l'hanis mireach gufa b'kadeha, ve'in l'cha giru yetzer hara yosar mizeh. Avon mutaros hareach shala b'shanishar b'kli ein k'peda, mutaros hareach shala the leftovers, b'shanishar b'kli ein k'peda, dein b'zeh kiruv das. That's not going to cause kiruv das when you're just smelling what's in the bottle. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Now notice, this entire discussion about perfume is about whether you're allowed to smell the perfume of Ishto Nida, right? Never discusses whether she's allowed to wear perfume. Right? No one talks about that. Is a woman allowed to wear perfume? You don't find discussion about whether women are allowed to wear perfume. Correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't see anything until the end of the 20th century. None of the classical posts can talk about if a woman can wear perfume. So why is that? I mean, if the husband's not allowed to smell it, so then what's she wearing it for, right? So it seems that some of the contemporary sfarim say the fact that it's asr to smell the perfume indicates that she probably shouldn't be wearing it. I would argue the opposite. The assumption is that she's wearing it, and therefore there's an issue for you to get. I mean, that's a good way to know if you're getting too close. That if you get so close, I remember when I was a teenager in Camp Masora, a friend of mine who is now a chashva reish kailo, was friends, overly friendly with certain young ladies, and the head counselor of the teen division at the time was a very, very young and cool Rebbe by the name of Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky. And I remember him, he was very close with this friend of mine, still is, and he said to him, he got right up in his face, and he said, when you're this close and you can smell her perfume, you're too close. So that always stuck with me. Yes, that's a good. He made a point. So it's a good get there. Meaning, if she probably shouldn't put on so much that you could smell it all over the place. But also, perfume is a masking agent. Also, perfume is not only just to project a nice smell. It also covers any other smell that may be developing just from sweat or whatever. So I don't think there's any issue for her to wear perfume. She just shouldn't go overboard with wearing her perfume, and you probably shouldn't, obviously she just sprayed it, it's in the air, but you probably shouldn't get so close that you're smelling it all the time.
Based on that, do we see the person discussing that there could be this perfume and this perfume? It could be something which she puts on every day, and there could be something which, for a special occasion, for a Shabbos,
Also, how do you even define perfume? Meaning, deodorants have a smell. There are creams that women put on that have a smell. That's a key part of the marketing of all these things is the smell. It's a huge part of it. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I think the mahalich we generally have is she can wear a perfume, just not to go overboard with it. And you should try. If you see that you're smelling her, then you should probably get a little bit further away. I think that's the general mahalich. Not anyone here differently from your chassan teachers or anything?
In the bottle,
I think we say like the Aruch HaShulchan that it's mutter. I don't know too many guys that do that. I don't know. I never ask guys, but I'm just assuming. It would never occur to me. Good. So now we move to the dining room. Dining room Harachakos. So let's start with dining room rachakos can be a little confusing because there's some overlap and things that sound similar to each other. It starts with two things. There's a ton of debate on there's machlokas where the dining room rachakos come from. I mean the Gemara Ksubis chutz me'atzah samita chutz panaviyad v'raglav mezika sakos. So all you have is mezika sakos. You don't have anything about eating together or anything like that. So where does the whole eating together business come from? So there are two possible sources, and the Rishonim are somewhat split on which is the primary source. One possible source is the Tanit Ve'el Yo that we've been talking about the whole time, that when he said, B'yimei buna ma'hu epslecha, so she said, well, achalimi shasaimi yashanimi b'kiruv basar. So they say, yeah, achalimi shasaimi was a problem, and that's why Eliyahu Navi said that... That Baruch HaMakom Shargo Shalom Nasapanim LaTorah because he was Achalimi V'Shasimi. Other Rishonim say no. She said Achalimi Shasimi, and Eliyahu Navi didn't interrupt at that point. Once she said Yashimi B'Kiruv Basar, that's where he jumped in and he said, "There's your problem. The Achalimi Shasimi was fine." So where would dining room rachakos come from? So other Rishonim point not to the Tanit Bei Eliyahu, but to a mission that appears a couple of dapim earlier. The Mishnah Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph tells us that lo yochal hazav im hazava mipnei hergel avera, that a zav and a zava shouldn't eat together because eating together is an intimate thing, right? When people go out on dates, they go out to a restaurant and eat together. So eating together is considered an intimate thing. It's a romantic thing. And therefore, a Zav and a Zava should not do so because it will lead to Hergal Aveira. So the context of the Mishnah are things that you're not allowed to do because they might lead to an Isser. Meaning, what's it doing with Masechta Shabbos? Because all the other things in the Mishnah are Shabbos related. Zav and Zava has nothing to do with Shabbos. Right? The Mishnah says that a tailor shouldn't walk out on Erev Shabbos with the needle still in his clothing. You know, he has his needle in his clothing, so he could always take it out and have it handy when he needs to fix something. But it's going to be a violation of Hotzah if he's walking around with that on Shabbos. So he, the Lo Yetzei HaChayot B'machat, you know, in the Tachov B'Bigdor or whatever, I don't remember the exact lesson of the Mishnah. So that's, that appears in that Mishnah. Or a scribe walking out with his quill on Erev Shabbos. Or the Mishnah over there talks about a person shouldn't read La'ora Ner. Why? Shemayate. You might tilt the Ner and you're going to be Mechaba the Eish. So all of that is Shabbos related. And then the Mishnah just like throws in this one, that lo yochal azava mazava, nothing to do with Shabbos, just that azava and azava shouldn't eat together. But the assumption is, because it's going to be margil. So the Gemara in Yud Gimel asks, why dafka azav not eating with azava? How about no one should eat with azava? Meaning, who's not allowed to sleep with azava? Anybody! Nobody's allowed to sleep with azava. So why would we say lo yochal azava mazava? Just say lo yochal anybody with azava. So the Gemara explains, well, a regular person would never have a hava mina to eat with a zava. It wouldn't even be shaykh, because you have to be careful about tumah and tahara. And zava is, you know, is going to make everything tameh. She's going to ruin all your food. So you would never have a hava mina. But a zav is tameh anyway, so you might have thought, all right, so I can eat with a zava. It's not going to be harmful. So layochal zav ma zava, because in addition to the tumah and tahara element, you also have the iser of tashmish. That's a separate iser that one has with a zava. So you can't eat together lest they come to do an avera. So the question is, what does that mean? You can't eat together. And this is a major machlokas rishonim. Does it mean you can't eat from the same plate? What does it mean you can't even sit at the same dining room table? What does it mean you're not allowed to go out to the same restaurant together? What does it mean you're not allowed to eat together? So the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha in Isuri Biyah Perkir Aleph Halach Yirchaz, the Rambam writes, V'asru lo la'adam she'idavik be'ishta b'shivas yimeinakiyim. Even during the Shivas Nakiyim, not only when she is still bleeding, a person has to be careful not to be misdavik be'ishta, not to be too connected to his wife. And the Rambam writes, Af pisha hibiksusa v'hubiksusa, even though everyone's stressed, and among the things he lists, v'lo yachalima b'ka'ara achas, not he from the same plate. The Raiva jumps all over it, and he says, Anunogim afilo al shulchanecha, v'chein chas v'rachai, shil t'tzadibad. The Rav Chai Gon in the Shiltos says, the Raiva says, you're not even allowed to eat at the same table. I don't know why you're only saying the same plate. The Rambam doubles back on this in Tumas Ochlin, Perek Tes Zayin Alach Yiralith, Hatomei Vatohar Yachtov, Mipi Hashmo Lamdu, from that Pasuk, Shatomei Vatohar, Ochlin Bekara Achas, that a Tomei and a Torah can eat from one plate, Avalo Yochal, Habalim Ishto Bekara Kishitia Nida. But a husband and wife should not eat from the same plate when she is a Nida. Velo Yishteima, and they shouldn't drink together. Velo Timzo Glo Sakol, she shouldn't pour for him, Kmo Shabiyarnu. And Azav and Azava shouldn't eat together either. And the Ravid over there jumps up again and says, even on the same table with one placemat is going to be Aser, with one tablecloth is going to be Aser. So you already see two Shitas and Rishonim, right? The Rambam in both places says that it's an Iser only when you're eating Mika'ara Achas from the same plate, whereas the Ravid, quoting Rav Chaigon, says that no, even at the same table is a problem. The Ramban, Hilchas Nida Perek Ches Halacha Gimel, Yeser Al Kain, Lo Yochalima Al Shulchan Echad, Vein Tzarech Lomar Bika'ara Achas. You're not even allowed to be at the same Shulchan, for sure not. Ka'ara Achas. So what do you do if you only have one dining room table? Not everyone is so rich that they have a kitchen table and a dining room table. Or maybe the husband and wife maybe want to sit in the same room when they eat. So the Rabban gives you a heter already. He says there's a way to do it, to eat at the same shulchan, you eat at two separate tablecloths on the same shulchan, and that's good enough. But otherwise, they're not allowed to be at the same table. The Rush in the first parak of Masech Shabbos over there in Ol Slamin Beis. Umasha regilinach shav lechol mishto nida b'shulchan echad. I, why is it that people sit at the same table with their wives when they're in nida? Lefishe b'yimeihem hayu regilim lechol kol echad levado al shulchan katan. Ooh, the Rush says, whoa. What Chazal meant when they spoke about one table, what we mean when we speak about one table, are very, very different things. They used to eat, everyone got their own little table. So if you were sharing a little tray table, what does that tell you? You were being very intimate, because that's something that wasn't meant to be shared. Sharing that which is not meant to be shared, that's a problem. That's something that has to be included in the harchakos, says the Rush. He says that's why, you know, fits in the list of the other achakos. All the other achakos are very intimate kinds of things. But now everyone sits at a big giant dining room table. You have these 12-foot long table where everyone sits, like these big conference tables. And then the Rosh just throws in, even after he said it's mutter, he says, but some people make a hacker, like you do for basar v'chal at the same table. So, okay, so the Rishonim are all over the place, right? We have the Rambam saying, same table is fine, it's only the same plate that's a problem. You have Rav Chai Golan saying, same table is a problem. Sounds like any table is a problem, doesn't matter the size. The Ramban, also, same table is a problem, but he gives you a heter of mappa. And then you have the Rush, same table is a problem, but only a tiny table. Our tables are not a problem. But still, he recommends a chumrah of having a hacker of some sort. He doesn't define what the hacker is, but a chumrah of having some sort of hacker. So how do we pass him a Shulchan Aruch? What would you expect to pass him a Shulchan Aruch? So you'd expect, I don't know, if the Rambam and the Rush both say that it's mutter, right? By his own rules, Shabbos night, Ram and the Rush. Says Shulchan Aruch Sif Gimel, Lo Yochalima al HaShulchan. You're not allowed to eat at the same table. Surprising. Pasan's against the Ram and the Rush. Elim Kein Yeshum Shinui, Sheyeshum Dover Mafsik Bein Ka'ara Shalom LeKa'ara Shalom. And he says, you need to have a Shinui, which the Rush suggested, and he defines a Shinui. Something that separates between your plate and her plate, lechem o kankan, a loaf of bread, or a jug, a pitcher, o sheyochal kolechem mapashalo, or like the Ramban said, everyone should have their own placement. And the Rama comments, v'yeshomrim had tzrich nefsik bin karshalo l'karshalo haynetaf p'kshem n'ochlin b'kar achas k'shi tohra av m'ochl b'kar achas k'shi tohra sagim ochlis b'kar b'vnei atzma. Says the Rama, if they're in the habit of always eating out of the same plate, then just putting it in different plates would be enough. You don't need any further hacker. Most people are not in the habit of eating out of the same plate. Most people have their own dinner plate. Right? It feels like too much of an invasion of your space to share plates every single night. So that's why we assume that Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Ramban, that they're not letting it at the same table against both the Rambam and the Rush. So here's what we need to talk about. If it's us to eat from the same table, Kal v'chomer, it's us to eat from the same plate. So there are really three distinct harchakos over here. There's, you're not allowed to eat from the same plate, you're not allowed to eat from the same table, and then there's another harchaka that we didn't touch upon yet that is similar and overlaps a little bit, that you're not allowed to eat her leftovers, food that she hasn't finished, that she's begun but hasn't finished. So let's tackle each one independently. So first of all, eating from the same plate. So again, Shulchan Aruch said that you're not allowed to eat from the same table. So and everyone agreed, all the Rishonim agreed, of course you're not allowed to eat from the same plate. So that's a davar pashut. Comes along the Taz and Sif Katan Beis, and the Taz writes, Od Reisi Shtus Gadol. So they saw this stupid practice that people have. Shemenatchem Chatichos Ketanos Bekara Achas. Hu Notel Achas. Vehi Notel Achas. At Gemar Achila. They cut food into little tiny pieces. They put it on a plate. And each one, he takes one, she takes one. They munch in and they say, oh, it's not so many calories. They don't realize that it's adding up, right? They just take a little bit. He takes, she takes. A shtus gadol. Till they finish it. This is horrible. Of course that's considered a achil yachad. This is from a marshal that he's quoting. He says, on mikol makom mashma taze adz de kishmasim in kara ima chatichos gedolos kederach shmasim in bikadeva v'kalechat notal min akara umesim lefanav al kli miyuchad v'yoichal misham ein b'zayisid. Says Taz, yes, you can't have this little hors d'oeuvre plate where everyone's just munching a little bit, a little bit, a little bit until they finish the whole thing. But what you can have is what's called a serving platter, where they have the nice big piece of chicken, lots of pieces of chicken on the serving platter, and everyone takes a big piece and they put it on their plate and then they eat it off of their plate. That's mutter. That's not called that you're eating from the same plate. The source is the same plate. Yeah, but that's not where you're eating it from. You're not eating it from the source. You're not eating it from the serving plate. You're eating it from your own plate. So that's the taz. So, and then we assume like this, la'alacha. So Rav Vazner just like adds a little bit of the lumdus over here. Rav Vazner and Shevet Alevi says there's a machlokas achronim whether the heter, what's the heter of the taz with the serving plate? I mean, what's the matir? You're eating out of the same serving plate, so what makes it okay? Because he talks about a few different things. He talks about the size of the pieces. He talks about, right, that these are big pieces. He talks about the fact that you're putting it on your plate. And he talks about the fact that you're not eating it immediately. You're taking it off, putting it on your plate, and then later eating it. Which of those is the real heter? Is it the delay? Is it the fact that you have a separate plate? Is it the size of the pieces? See, Rav Vazner says, as a machlokas achronim, whether the heter is that it goes onto your plate, so you're not eating from the serving plate, or whether it's based on the hafsaka that takes away the chiba, that there's a time delay. I'm not taking it straight from the serving plate into my mouth, I'm putting it down first. What would be the nafkamina if you don't put it on a plate? Why would you not put it on a plate?
What?
If you're at a wedding. Oh, coming around with something like that, but l'chora, would that have either heter? L'chora, that wouldn't have either heter. It may have a different heter of other people, but l'chora, that wouldn't have either heter, either of these heter. Now, what about things you don't put on a plate? There are certain things that you're just not, it's not, they're not meant to go on a plate, or you don't need a plate for them. Challah, right? There's a challah dish. So you take a piece of challah, she takes a piece of challah, you don't put it on your plate, you put it next to your plate. Right? That's common practice, I think. You don't want the challah to get mixed in with the chalent or whatever, so you put the challah next to your plate. So if the issue is that it's a plate, you need to put it on your plate in order to be matmid, well, you didn't put it on your plate. Or you should be matmid, tzedakah, put it on your plate. But it's not about the plate, it's just about the fact that you're not eating straight out of the serving dish, you're putting it down somewhere, so then you have that tattoo. He suggests nafkamina might be margarine or butter or something like that, that you smear directly on your bread without ever putting it on your plate. It goes directly on, you know, on your bagel. So it's not going on your plate, it's going straight on your food. Then he goes on to say, that's mutter anyway. For a different reason. He has a different svara, why butter is going to be mutter. This is very relevant for a lot of other things. He says, "Ubikra David Sarachinim divrei miricha nechshav ka'ochlim mikara achas. De pashus e nechshav shochlim osam rak heim machshirim esa ochel achila acharkach." He says, Pashto says, you're not eating it. You don't eat butter. You use butter as a way to make your real food taste better. A condiment is not food. And mimela, it's not called that you're eating food off of the same plate. The issue is only to eat food off of the same plate. So if the condiment is coming from the same plate, it's not going to be a problem. Well, so what if you're dipping vegetables in a dip? Right, you have a little platter of, you have some vegetables that you took vegetables from a platter and put it in, but there's only one dip, or you both like the same dip. So can you dip in the same thing? So if the svara is that you have to put it on your plate, right, well, you're not putting it on your plate because then it trips all over, you don't do that. You dip and you eat, right? If the svara is that there has to be a hefsik, also no good. But now they have this new svara that Rav Vazner said. It's not food. It's just being machshir your ochel. So it's not even called that you're sharing. Then the dip would be mutter. Rav Moshe has a vastly different understanding of this whole taz and this whole halacha. Rav Moshe in Yerodeh Chelek Aleph Sim Tzadi Aleph Tzadi Beis understands that the key over here is how big the portions are, not what I would have read into the taz. Right? The taz pointed out three things, and Rav Elzner only assumed two of them could possibly matter. Right, the time delay or the plate being mafsik. Those are the only two that could possibly matter, Rav Elzner thought. So as Rav Moshe notes, it's the third thing that matters. It's the size of the pieces that matter. Why? So Rav Moshe understands the size of the pieces is not about the size of the pieces. It's about, is the plate holding a portion that's meant to feed one person or a portion that's meant, many portions that's meant to feed many people? And he says, the whole problem is that you're sharing a single portion of food, and that is inherently intimate. Right? To take a single slice of pizza and cut it in half and share it, that's considered, so you only do that with friends and family. You don't do that with a stranger. But, you know, to take your portion when someone else takes their portion, you would do that no matter who's sitting at the table. So according to Moshe, if you go to a restaurant, it's a huge chumrah. If you go to a restaurant, you order, and you're not so hungry, you already had the appetizers, you ordered two separate appetizers. Someone gets you whatever, you know, a thing to a nice restaurant, so you go out, and or whatever, a special anniversary or whatever, and each fill up on the appetizer. You know, some of these restaurants, the appetizer you can't possibly fill up on, some of them they like give you like a lot. And now you can't eat a whole main, so you order one main and you'll split it. She's a nita, so what do? So you ask for an extra plate. And you figure, no problem. As soon as the main comes, you'll cut the steak in half, or a piece of chicken in half, and you'll put half of it on your plate, and that's it. You're not going to be eating from the same plate. She'll be eating from one plate, you'll be eating from the other plate. Says Rav Moshe, no good. It's one portion. And if it's one portion, it's meant for one person, and by splitting that, you're doing something that's inherently intimate. That's a chumra Rav Moshe has. I don't think the practice is to be machna like Rav Moshe.
There's a
mechayik
there. If you order it, the shame to be two. The fact the restaurant decides it's one portion, that's their question. But it's a difference if, like, if she had is eating something and it's finished.
No, Rav Moshe would hold. Rav Moshe, I think Rav Moshe holds that that's still a problem because you don't do that with other people. You do it with someone you're very comfortable with. To place one order, and then
it's not like a dinner of like shirayim. In fact, she already ate it, and then I'm eating from, like, you know, from
something. Oh, so right. So this is an important point that you're making. This is not the halacha of shirayim ma'achala. That might also be a problem. That might also be a problem. We have to figure out how to get around that problem. This is same plate, and this is, you know, that's where the overlap happens. What about sharing a bowl of popcorn or a dish of, you know, French fries? So again, I always tell Al-Khassadim, if she says, don't order a second thing of French fries, I'll just have one or two of yours. Order a second thing of French fries. She's a need, not a need, that doesn't make a difference. She doesn't just want one or two of yours, she wants to steal all your fries. And if you really want fries, then you should order a second thing of fries. Okay, that's just a life hack. But, you know, as far as Hilchas Nida, what we're really here for. So what about sharing the thing with us? What would you tell you now?
You'd do that with anyone.
You would do that with anyone. So Rabbi Simon quotes Rabbi Abadi that says that's far. That you would do that with anyone. So Rabbi Simon says, I used to always tell Chassanim that the classic example of eating out of the same plate is out of a bag of popcorn or out of French fries. But Rabbi Abadi told him it's a terrible example because it's not chiba, because you two people would always do that. It doesn't matter who's sitting at the table. However, Rabbi Forst writes, and I think this is the common practice, Rabbi Forst, and I quote, writes, they certainly may not eat together from one bag of pretzels or popcorn. And I assume who had dinner French fries. Rav Moshe would say, no. A single thing of fries, for sure, asr. It's meant as one serving, right? Unless you get like a thing for the table, kind of.
Oh, could
you use a motion? Or even popcorn or pretzels, depends how big the bag is,
yeah.
Right? If it's one of those snack bags that you put in the brown lunch, you know, that then it would be asr, according to Ramosha.
Could you use a motion start to be mother? Because Ramosha's point is when it's one portion, then it's necessarily intimate. For these types of foods,
I hear, and it's necessarily not intimate.
It's a big bowl.
a big microwave popcorn, one of those big things, right? So Ramesha would not have a problem with that, Lechora. Right, Ramesha would not have a problem with that. But again, I think the minhag is not like Ramesha. I think, and I don't think we start assessing each case how intimate it is. I think we assume eating mikarachas is intimate enough.
Also, could be here the problem is there's more of a chashash nagia. If you're in a meal and you're like taking a thing, you're watching a movie.
So but the question is that what karachas is? Is it a chashash nagia?
No, this could be worse.
But stam, a person should always be wary of a chashash nagia, I hear. Rav Moshe also writes in the Tshuva that if one person finishes eating from the plate before the next one begins, it's mutter. Meaning, if the French fries come to the table and you say, I just want three, one, two, three, right? And that's it, right? And then I'm done. And she hasn't eaten any yet. So you're finished, you're mesalek yadav, Rav Moshe holds that's fine. That's the heter for the hors d'oeuvres. Right? They come around the wedding with the hors d'oeuvres, so you're not allowed to eat out of the same plate. Right? So, yeah, but when you take, you're not going to keep going back and taking, maybe. So if you take whatever you want, and you're not going to go and keep out, you make sure it's a different waitress next time that you take from. So that lechor is the heter. I saw that Rabbi Forrest quotes a machlokas about eating from different compartments of a candy dish. You know, there's nuts in one compartment and there are those gooey gel, you know, snakes or something, let's say, in the other compartment. So if I eat those, those gel snake thingies, all my teeth will come out. So it's I have bad teeth, so I can't eat that. But a few nuts I could eat, right? So my wife loves that stuff. She loves that disgusting. She sends me to buy candy always for whenever we have like a tish or something like that in the house, whenever we're hosting someone. So I go to Cold Save and I buy, like, I spend like $100 on like all these things of candy. She's like, why do you pick like the 10 worst candies in the entire store every time? So last time I asked Smart, I went and I looked for the worst candies in my mind. And I figured that way I'll win. And it was a taco much better. So it worked. Reminds me of the Gemara with the father that asked it. Yeah, okay. So what was I saying? Yeah, so the Badei HaShulchan is machmir. That's called eating from the same plate. And the Chutshani is mekel. That's not called eating from the same plate. If they're in separate compartments, that is the din of a separate plate. Okay, I'm not sure how to be done on something like that.
If Croatia allows you to take like three fries and then you're done with it, and why shouldn't you be able to take like half the plate off when in the restaurant onto your plate and then give the rest to your wife or whatever, and that should be the same thing. I'm done with the plate now.
Yeah, so I said before you shouldn't do that because you're splitting a single portion. That would be okay. Ramesha says that was Ramesha Kula, that it's only when it's a single portion that it's a problem, but he's willing to be makil even if it is a single portion if you're masalik first. I don't remember how it goes. It might be a chumrah, maybe that even if it's not a single portion you still can't be munching off of the same plate. It might be a chumrah. I have to look back at that. So that's as far as eating from the same table. We still didn't get to eating from the same table, which eating from the same table is not really, you would, if you were to tell someone, oh, we're learning about the hecker of eating from the harchaka of eating from the same table, most people never heard of that harchaka. It's what we call hecker, putting a hecker on the table. Because instead of saying that there's an issur of eating from the same table, we talk about what you need to do in order to be allowed to eat from the same table. So that's the hecker. So Bezer Shem on Wednesday will finish up the eating stuff. We'll talk about eating from the same table, and we'll talk about leftovers, and then we'll have to get into Mezigas HaKos Be'ezra Hashem as well, general serving, Shiluach Koshal Bracha, and then maybe at the end of Wednesday going into Thursday, we'll talk about all the bedroom Harchakos Be'ezra Hashem. Okay, have a great day, everyone.